And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Moses said, let it be as you say, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And I'm thinking, Moses said, when would you like to get rid of these frogs? And these frogs are in your bed, they're in your cushions, they're in your drinking glasses, they're all over the show. You walk and you've got frogs jumping over your feet. You've got frogs jumping off your shelves. You're covered in frogs. When do you want to be free of them? I know I'd want to be free of them now.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh said, tomorrow. You idiot. Why would you want to wait until tomorrow to be free of these stupid frogs? It's fine that they're going to be in the river. I can live with that. And that's where the frogs live. And they can stay there. Please don't come in my house. You're not welcome. But then I got thinking about, in a sense, we've all got frogs, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've all got things that bother us. And some of the things that bother us are things that don't need to bother us. And sometimes when you think about issues in your life, you want to stop doing things, and then you're thinking to yourself, well, just one more time. I want to be free of this habit. Well, tomorrow. I want to be free. I don't want to have this particular thing happening anymore. Well, maybe just once more. I shouldn't be going to these places. Well, maybe just one more time. I shouldn't have this relationship with these people. Well, maybe when we've been out this weekend, maybe we'll change then. And as I say, I was sort of laughing at this, thinking, how stupid, you've got all these frogs. But yeah, it's something that we can do in our own lives if we're not careful. Then I started thinking about what your frogs are. Most of the frogs that I came up with initially were about bad habits. I know back in the olden days, when I used to smoke, I was always going to stop smoking on a particular date. Or I was always going to stop smoking when I finished this packet. I've paid for them, I might as well use them, you know.
Sounds like you.
Pardon?
Sounds like you.
There you go. Well, it's a show, you see. It's like you're going through these things and you really desperately don't want to do this habit. And when you're going to give it up? Tomorrow. When I was growing up, I lived with my grandma for quite some time. And the next door neighbour used to ask me every day when I was going to go back to my mum. And I gave her the same answer every single day. And the answer was always the day after tomorrow. Number one, we know tomorrow never comes, but I was making sure. It was always the day after the day that never comes. It was always the day after tomorrow. And it went on for years, that. When are you going back to your mum? Day after tomorrow. And it became a bit of a joke. You know, I mean, one day, stuck her head over the wall. So, Ellen, when are you going home to your mum? Day after tomorrow, is it? Yeah. Day after tomorrow. And we were comfortable with that, because the day that I had to go home wasn't coming. It was always going to be put off. And it's easy to put off seizing a bad habit. It's always easier to give up tomorrow. Oh, why don't I do it? Why don't I carry on until the end of the month? Then I can say, but from the first of the month, I didn't do this habit. There's only one problem with that, recording a date to when you last did a particular sin. When that date comes around, you remember that particular sin, and that invokes the temptation to pick it up again. Or it reminds you of your failings. And why would I want to be reminded of failings? So is your frog that you've got that's bothering you, that you don't want to give up until tomorrow, is it a habit? One of the worst things, of course, is it a particular sin? I mean, you can have habits that are not sins, but you can't have sins that are not sins. Is there something that God's told you to put right that you're not putting right? Put it right. It's a frog. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't not be right with God at any time. What if he takes your life in the middle of the night? You want to be right when it falls in under. One of the biggest frogs that I face all revolve around health issues. I want to get up and I want to be well all the time. And it doesn't seem to be happening. But that doesn't mean that I'm dwelling on the fact that I'm sick. Because as far as you're concerned, I'm not.
Mm.
Grace will ask, regularly asks me how I am. And she gets the same answer every time. And it goes a little bit like this. How are you, Helen? And it's like...
Walking in
the kitchen. Don't confess. I mean, I preached a few months ago. Don't confess what you don't want. Don't say that you're sick. Say that you're well. Say that you're healed. The truth of the matter is that we are all healed. We're all well. We're all full of the life of Christ. We've all got everything we need to live in wellness.
Mm.
And when your body's telling you it's sick, I've got a word for it. Liar. The Bible doesn't say that I'm sick. The Bible says that I've got health. And
Amen.
Jesus bought that health
yeah.
when he suffered at Calvary. That health is mine.
Amen.
And the devil can listen all he likes. And he can argue all he likes. But that health is mine.
Amen.
And I don't want it tomorrow. I want it now.
Mm.
It's no fun getting up in the morning not being well. You all know what it's like to face sickness of any description, even if you've only got a snotty nose. You know, or you've got a mild headache. A mild headache can be a terrible burden because it's irritating, and anything that irritates causes us distress. When do we want to be free?
Now.
No. I don't want to wait. We're for another stinking night, no, most at morning before these frogs go. Get rid of them. Stand your ground. If you've got the opportunity to be free, be free. Why would you not want to be free? So health issues can be a lot, and as I know for people in here now, there are a number of us that have got health issues. But that does not mean that we are sick. We are not sick. We are the healed.
Amen.
We are healed. We are free. We are set free. And nothing of the power of the enemy will overcome us because we are free. We are healed.
Amen.
And your body will tell you one thing, but let me tell you, your body is the flesh.
Mm.
And the flesh is always at discord with the spirit because the body wants its way.
Mm.
It wants the fleshly way. Like we mentioned with the habits, your body wants what it wants. But your body doesn't know what's good for it.
No.
It has to be told. Very much like Charlie. Charlie doesn't always know what's good for him. But he gets told. He gets allowed to run around and do what he wants. And then every now and then, that's it, stop. And if you don't stop, there's consequences. Running around like nobody's business an hour ago. Quiet as a little thing now. Such a blessing.
He's gone into church, Margaret.
Yeah.
He's been blessed.
Yeah. But this is it.
Mm.
Sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves and what we want and what our flesh wants.
Mm.
And at the same time, knowing that what we are wanting is not good, there's a danger sometimes that you'll just edge that little bit closer. I'm reminded of a story about this old lady, and she couldn't drive anymore, and she decided that she'd hire a chauffeur. So these three men came to be interviewed by her, and the first man came in and she says, "How close to the edge of the road can you get before the car will go down into the cavern and, you know, kill us? How close to the edge can you drive?" "Oh, missus," he says, "I'm a fabulous driver." He says, "I can get so close to the edge that I can get half the tyre hanging off and I'll still not go down." She says, "Okay, thank you, I'll let you know." So the next guy goes in and she asks him the same question. "How close to the edge can you get?" He says, "Well," he says, "I don't like to get too close to the edge," he says, "but I'm pretty confident that I can get right to the edge and keep control of the car. So, well, thank you very much. That was very helpful. I'll let you know. And the third guy comes in and she asks him the same question. She says, so how close to the edge can you get when you're driving in the car? He says, Mrs. He says, I stay as far away from the edge as I possibly can.
Oh, man.
And he got the job. And there's a message in that for us. It's not how close to the sin can you get before you get, you know, before you back away from it. The message is how far away from the sin can you get. Because keeping away and keeping the distance away from the problem is protection for you.
Mm.
At one time a day, you would not put a packet of fags on a table near me because you'd definitely lose some. And you can put 20 packets on table now, and I couldn't care less. But the thing is, at one time, if they were there, the temptation was there. So what temptation's there for? To be yielded to, isn't it? It says yield to temptation. Or is that a misquote?
Yield.
Oh,
yield
not. I thought there was
or yielding
a sin. Oh, really? That's where I missed it. But you see, the thing is, if we put the thing that troubles us close by and we don't put it out of the way. Same with relationships. If we've got a bad relationship that's not doing us any good, that's leading us away from God, don't stay in that relationship unless God specifically told you to. Get away from it. Because you're not going to change the person.
No, no.
They're going to change you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you wanted to be in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which says more about you than the person that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be careful with our relationships as well. So the frogs can be anything. It can be a habit, it can be a sin, could be a health issue, a relationship issue. It could be anything that's drawing you away from God. Anything that's distracting you. And the problem is, when we are distracted in this way, if we fall into sin, or we don't resist as we should, we end up getting what everybody these days is muttering about, and that's wages. Everybody's complaining that the wages aren't good, they're not getting what they deserve. I deserve more. I want my wages. Well, the Bible also talks about wages. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells you very clearly about your wages. The wages that you get if you sin. And the wages that you get if you sin are very easy. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages which sin pays
is death.
But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do you want? Do you want wages or would you like a gift? I know at Christmas we all like gifts. We don't want wages because that means we've had to go to work at Christmas. But wages are something that you earn. And you earn wages of sin and the wages are death.
Yeah.
And death is a little bit final. Might not mean physical death. It might mean spiritual death. But they're both equally traumatic. If you die physically, hopefully we're all set free and we're on our way to heaven. But if we're not organised spiritually, if we're not set free and born again, we end up in the other place, which might be warm, but it's not very nice. We do not want to end up in hell. We want to end up with our Lord, with Jesus Christ at the end of the day. And Jesus brings a free gift,
mm-hmm.
which is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now we might enjoy life down here, but it's nothing compared to what it's going to be. Because down here, you have times when you enjoy life and it's a good life. But you also have times when it's miserable. And when things are not as smooth running as you'd like them. Sometimes it doesn't take much to really spoil your day. But in heaven, we're not going to have any of those days. Every day is going to be a good day. So the wages of sin is death. So that tells us that sin isn't good for us. Now, sin can take not only our lives from the opportunity of going from heaven, but sin can also cause you problems down here. Sin will cost you things. It has its price. And sin down here can cost you friendships. I know when I was at school, there was a lady at school, and she was the world's greatest liar, and it cost her friendships. She couldn't believe a word she said, so eventually she ended up with no friends, because you couldn't communicate with her, because she'd tell you where she'd been and what she'd done, and you'd think, yeah, of course you did, you liar. And you can't trust a person like that. You've got to be able to trust somebody if you're in friendship with them. You don't have friends that you don't trust. Sin will also cost you your health. Sometimes there are consequences for the lifestyle that you've lived. Be it bad habits or bad diet or poor exercise things. Your problem sometimes is not caused, you know, by bad luck. Sometimes the sin problem or the overindulgence problems impacted your life. We used to laugh at Bish when he used to come. Bishop Cody, you know, great man of God, powerful in his words, diabetic. And he would keep eating cake. You're not supposed to eat that. Oh, no. I'll just curse these calories. Oh, curse these calories. But it was fun, and it was funny to hear him. But he suffered terribly because of that later life. And it's easy to, you know, mock the situation that you're in. But your health's a serious matter. You only get one body. And if you've not looked after it very well, it's never too late to start looking after it.
No.
It's never too long or too late to change. Because ultimately, if you're making an effort, God sees that effort that you're making.
Yeah.
And he is the healer. And if you do your part, he'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned before, there's a number of things that I've been diagnosed with in the past. Don't have them anymore.
Amen.
And there's a reason for that. I did my part. Up to God to do it. And there are still health issues there. But let me tell you this. The frogs can go. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's going to come a day when I walk in here and tell you that I've got nothing wrong at all.
Amen.
And it's coming. Which is why at times it seems, I guess, to be such a battle. But it's coming.
Amen. Amen.
And it can't come quick enough, but it's coming. It's coming. Because we've been set free to be free. We've not been set free to be in bondage.
No.
Whether it's a bondage we put ourselves into, whether it's a bondage your neighbours bring, friends bring, a financial situation, no matter what the problem is, God's always got the answer for us and doesn't want us to be in bondage. Today we hear a lot about people that haven't got any money. I've got no money. I'm so poor, I've got no money. I need better wages. No, you don't, you need a better lifestyle. There's no reason for anybody to be poor today. Sometimes it gets infuriating when you hear people complaining about how they need this, that and the other. Told you, didn't I, a few weeks ago about the lady in the shop, just spent over 120 quid on cigs, and then wanted a free parcel because she'd got no food in the house. Well, how much food would 120 quid buy?
Mm-hmm.
Priorities are wrong, love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same today. And some people on benefits deserve every penny that they're getting. But some people on benefits are just robbing the state blind. And not only that, but they are not benefiting from the extra money because what they're spending it on is not the right thing to be spending it on. And even as Christians, if we don't spend our money on the right stuff, don't expect God to be blessing you if you're chucking money away at things that are not fruitful and not profitable. Mm. And I'm not saying don't have any fun. You want to go to Alton Towers and have some fun, you go to Alton Towers and have some fun. I had a lovely time at Alton Towers one day. And the best part about Alton Towers on this particular day, the best part about this for Alton Towers, I had a fun day, I had a lovely day. But the best part about it was when a friend of mine
got
soaked to the skin on more than one occasion. Because people that don't usually ride fairground rides don't know the best place to sit, to stay dry. You all know you don't sit in the front seat. You all know when you... In fact, we were at another one. We all know when you go in those that go round and round on the river, you all know that you want two reasonably heavy people at one side. The skinny people at that side. And then what happens is that the heavier people sort of control the spin. But the joy of that is that the ones that are opposite get splashed. So I had a lovely entertaining day that day. Happily it was a nice hot sunny day, so they didn't stay very wet. But to this day, they remember it, don't you? But the thing is... You see, the other thing is we've got Bibles for a reason. And these Bibles are to teach us the way that we should go. Now, if Grace and Andrew and the others there had known how the rides worked, it wouldn't have been so easy to get them there. It wouldn't have been so easy to say, "Oh, sit in front, you get a better view there." "Oh, thank you. Thank you." You know, "Oh, let's all go in this and have a ride round." "No, don't do that. Get them skinny ones over that side." So we had the skinny ones and the children all at that side. We were dry, weren't we? We didn't get wet. Just have to know how these rides work. But the thing is, we've got this. And if we need any guidance on the way that we live our lives, we need to use what it says in here. Some of them are brilliant because they're fitted with little things at the back which tells you where to find the verse. So if I want to know how to be free, I can flip in here, look up freedom, and it will give me some verses for freedom or how to be free. And that is a useful tool that we need to use, because sometimes I can think of what the verse is, but I can't tell you where it is. Sometimes I might get lucky, but other times I can tell you what book it's in. And that's as far as it goes. But it is useful to actually know what these scriptures say and where to find them, because then you can turn to them and refresh your memory. You know, there's a spiritual thing, isn't it, to set your eyes on these things. It's not sometimes always enough to know. Sometimes you have to look at it and read it for yourself. Like I said, we need to be led by what God's saying. And further on in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, it says, "All those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you've received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, which we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God."
Amen.
And sometimes it's good just to have that assurance. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in our own failings and things that we think that we need that we're not getting. But at the end of the day, we are his children. And a good father always provides for his children. And we don't get a better father than Father God. And he wants to provide for us. The question arises, are we receptive to his giving? A gift's only useful if you actually accept it and receive it. If you get a gift at Christmas, you say thank you very much, you take it home and you put it under your Christmas tree and it stays under your Christmas tree. Then you take your tree down and put your tree away for next year and you, oh, I've got a gift under the tree. Oh, I'll stick it on the side and I'll open it later. That gift's no good to you until you actually open it. And it's the same with the gifts from God. Those gifts are no good unless you actually avail yourself of them and use them. As I say, on the face of it, at the moment, my body's telling me all these health things that are not right. But the gift of God is healing. And I'm healed. The body's not got the message yet, but I am healed. And sometimes it's easier to tell people how ill you are and how sick you are. My mother was brilliant at this. She could tell you all sorts. My mother was absolutely fabulous. Every time I went, there was something different. I couldn't keep up with her. But it was fun at times. I'll never forget the day that she was telling me all about this glaucoma that she'd got. But the problem was that she'd not really read the medical book very, very well, because the glaucoma that she had was in her ears. And she had glaucoma in her ears. And I've never heard of anybody having this eye disease in their ears before. But she was happy, because sometimes when you're not well, people gather around and, oh, poor you, poor you. And sometimes the sympathy from people can become quite, yeah, quite addictive. And it's quite pleasant. It's almost like, well, if I can't get any attention and freedom or joy from being the life and soul of the party and being well, I'll be as miserable as sin, I'll be really, really sick, and everybody will take so much sympathy with me, they'll come and snuggle me up and tell me how sorry they are that I'm so sick. The only problem with that is that you reap what you sow, and if you declare long enough that you've got these problems, you'll end up with the problems. She never actually did get glaucoma in her ears. But she did get glaucoma. And I look and I think about some of the diseases that she used to declare that she had before she had them. And it's a travesty, really. She even knew, and I'm saying this sort of loosely, she even told me when she went into the home, we were having a conversation about some of the folk in her home, and she says, I'm not going to be here more than 2 years. She says, I can't stand it here more than 2 years. She says, it's a pleasant home. She says, but two years is enough for me. Yeah, she thought it was funny. 2 years later, she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had this conversation in December, and it was 2 years. It was January that she passed, but it was 2 years later. And sometimes, you know, you've really got to be careful what you say. Don't, like I said, I mentioned it when I was speaking the other week or the other month. Be careful what you say, because the seeds that you sow from your mouth sometimes will come back and bite you, and it'll not be your mouth biting you, but in a sense it is, because you said it. And we need to get our conversation in line with what the Bible says. Don't say what you think. Don't say what you feel. Don't discuss your problem. Don't tell us about your frogs. Tell God. And for goodness sake, get shut of the things. Whatever the problem is, get rid of it. Ask for God's advice. You might not know necessarily the way to get rid of the problem. But who wants to spend another night with a load of frogs? That can't be easy going to sleep when you've got a bed full of frogs. You just lay your head on the pillow and rub it, rub it. The sound would be enough for me to keep me awake all night. They might. Stupid thing jumping all over. But whatever your frog is, get rid of it. Moving further on to verse 26 of chapter 8. Verse 26, sometimes we don't know what's the best way to go to to resolve situations in our life. But this helps us. Verse 26, so the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we don't know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings, too deep for utterance. When we don't know what to say, and sometimes we don't. We don't know how to plead with God. We don't know how to address our situation sometimes, how to describe what help we need. It's quite funny because I think it was just last night they've changed one of my medical appointments, and I was thinking about it. Situations that have arisen, and I was on bed and I was just talking to God and dwelling on these things, and we talk about these utterances of groanings, and it was almost like, oh God, what can I say? You just know. I said, well, if you made any sense of that, God, but you just know. And then when I read this morning, I thought, well, yeah, it weren't much of a groan, but there certainly weren't very many words with it. Mm. It was more...
He reads that.
Yeah. God understands that. Grace understands that, because that's the answer she gets. How are you?
I would lie to God.
You're right, it's not. You can't lie to God, because God knows. And the Holy Spirit helps us. The question arises, how willing are you to be helped, or do you know it all? How willing are you to be helped? You know, we're back on the gift thing, aren't we? The gift's only any good if you open it, but help's only any good if you accept it. If somebody offers to help you, no, it's all right. No, it's not all right. Accept some help. Verse 27, he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of Christ, knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints and according to and in harmony with God's will. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide you in your prayer life. Invite the Holy Spirit into your situation. Because he knows what the mind of Christ is. He knows what's happening up in heavenly places. And Jesus sent him to us to be the comforter and to enable us to be taught the things of God. Verse 28. We are assured and know that God, being a partner, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and accord according to his design and purpose. All things work together for good.
Mm.
All things.
Amen.
Might not be things that we enjoy, but all things work together for good.
Mm.
To those who love God. Do you love God?
Yeah.
All things work together for good then.
Mm.
Do you hate God? Oh dear, have you got a problem? But if you love God, all things work together for good. Be the good things or bad things.
Yeah.
But even if the bad things, there's an end. Because he brings us through things.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't bring us somewhere and dump us and leave us there to struggle. He brings us through. The act of going through this trouble is to strengthen us and then to encourage us. We were laughing with Mick a number of weeks ago when he was having trouble with his van. You know, he lost his magnet and he was, patience with this thing. So, well, you know how to get some patience. You're going the right way because of tribulation. Work of patience, and you get in tribulation, so your patience is on the way.
That's
so the question is, how's your patience? Is
it's coming on.
There you go. You know, it'd be easy if having it to come out and, oh, that one. Didn't learn anything. Bet he's brilliant at it now. He's learnt things while he's been fixing his van that he probably
didn't
know. Yeah,
well, never to touch it ever again.
But there you go, that's learning.
but
that's the thing. If we accept the guidance and the help, we're still going to face problems, we're still going to face difficulties. But at the end of the day, we're going to be brought through the difficulties into the freedom that Christ set us free for. Didn't set us free to live in bondage. He set you free to be free. For freedom, Christ has set us free.
By stripes we were healed.
Amen. Mm. And that's what we do. Now we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I had trouble on Sunday because somebody was pinching all the scriptures and preaching part of my message on Sunday. But he left some of it behind, thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God at all times for you because of the grace, the favour and spiritual blessing of God which was bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. Blessings have been bestowed on you. Verse 5, so that in him every respect you were enriched. That don't make sense. So that in him every respect you were enriched in full power and readiness of speech, to speak of your faith and complete knowledge and illumination, to give you full insight into its meaning. In this way, our witnessing concerning Christ the Messiah was so confirmed and established and made sure in you, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any spiritual endowment or Christian grace. While you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being made visible to all. And he will establish you to the end, keep you steadfast, give you strength and guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation and indictment, so that you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy,
Amen.
And therefore ever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. You were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the thing, isn't it? We've been called for a purpose. And the purpose is to show forth his Son. To show forth all that is available through what Jesus has done. And he's done so much for us. And if you start thinking about what he's done for you, you'll end up with brain fog, because there's just that much.
Mm-hmm.
He's done so much.
Amen.
And so we need to live in this freedom. We don't want to spend another night with these stupid frogs. We want to be in freedom. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held and ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. It's for freedom you've been set free. Don't get hindered by things that you've stopped doing. Don't get hindered by anything that's going to cause you to be bound up again. Don't get caught up to a yoke of slavery the devil wants to stick back on you, because you've been called for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You're not called to be tied up and in bondage. You're called for freedom. And freedom is not to do what you want. The freedom's to do what he's called you to do. And we've all been called to do something. And if you don't know what it is, ask him. Don't ask me, ask him. Ask the person that knows. We've got a responsibility to make sure that we are not only doing what we should be doing, but asking the right person. Because if he set us free for freedom, he knows what freedom is for us. And freedom for one person is not necessarily going to be freedom for another person. Some people are happier doing some things than other things. But ultimately we want to be free, free to live our lives for Christ, to live in the way that he's called us, and to do that. And finally, if you're in any doubt of how to protect yourself, I always come back to the same old thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it tells you about putting the whole armour of God on. And it describes each item, how you need to be protected. And it's not only about salvation, the helmet of salvation. There's more to the armour than that. The armour is there to protect you, and it's only any good if you put it on. Remember once we were singing, can't remember where we were now, but we'd been singing about putting on the garments of praise. And the thought occurred to me that it's all right singing about these garments of praise. And they sound very, very nice. But these garments of praise aren't a bit of good to you unless you put them on. The clothes that you've got on now wouldn't be doing you a bit of good if they were still in the wardrobe. And the robe of righteousness, similarly, we've got it and we need to be wearing it all the time. We need to be wearing the armour all the time. We need to be prepared to be free. And we need to walk in that freedom. And going back to this opening gambit, just get rid of them frogs.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of us, they're going to be different. But the frogs need to go. And they don't need to go tomorrow. They need to go now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.